What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 377, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing. With me is my Zoomed Out co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
Yeah, not much.
You're Zoomed Out?
I'm Zoomed Out because I have been creating comic videos recently, and I have this other like camera mount right here, and I've been using a different lens and a different camera.
And so wait, is this a different camera?
I have a wider
camera?
View on those. Yeah, this is my M200 that I always use.
Okay.
And then my other, I use my M50 on with just a prime lens.
Okay.
It's a wider, a 22 millimeter. So I just zoomed out a little. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, it would make it easier if we cut up clips so I can use your full face so you don't look like you're crunched in there. But yeah, another Wednesday. The summer is coming to an end. It's the last. I saw this tweet today that it's the last time the sun will set after 7 p.m. till next year.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. So it's kind of. Do you like the time change or not?
I don't mind the fall one usually.
Okay.
Right. The gaining the hour doesn't hurt as much usually to me. It's the spring one where you lose the hour and that screws with school time and stuff. But I don't mind this one as much.
I don't like it when the sun sets at like 5 p.m.
Yeah, but that doesn't happen for quite a while. Like,
no, I know that.
You're into winter by that point. But yeah, it is so weird. Like you're making dinner now and having the windows open and eating with the windows right there, and it's still like super bright out and nice. And then other nights you're like, well, just close the blinds because it's black outside, right?
It's dark. Yeah, it's so crazy. Yeah. How that, yeah. Didn't they pass some law or something that like they're just gonna make it all?
Yeah,
I saw something about that. But in any case, summer's coming to an end, but that always means that holiday season's coming, so we have probably a lot of launches coming. Not just like new tech, like not just new processors or graphics cards, but also all the companies that make cases and stuff, they'll have like a case launch for holiday season or something like that. So that's something to definitely get excited about. We have Taltosh in the chat, and he says, what's the big story with Unity dicking every single dev? I don't even know what that means.
I think they're starting to like charge some fees and stuff. I just googled Unity real quick, and it looked like they're going to charge some fees that they hadn't previously or something.
So everybody's charging fees, everything subscription model. Yeah, so not that fun. But we do have a good amount of stuff to talk about this week. Some pretty interesting products that I got to review this week. But if you did want to follow along, we do have our full show notes page here that has everything that we're going to be talking about this week. So you can follow along, click through to the articles, and get more information. But we're going to start here with a really cool product, which actually I have it right here. It is the Patriot Viper VXD, which looks like a portable SSD, but it's actually an SSD.
Just an enclosure.
Yeah, it's just an SSD enclosure, which is really good because you went through this exact same thing, and I don't think you're fully done converting all of your Gen 3 storage to Gen 4 storage, right?
No way.
Yeah, so say you finally make that full transition, you're on 100% Gen 4 storage. Like, what do you do with those old drives, right? They're M.2 drives, you know, and there's...
They may not go in an old system because it may not even have M.2 slots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what the VXD can do is it's a portable M.2 SSD enclosure. And the thing that's really awesome about this is that, one, this thing looks awesome. It's made of all aluminum. You know, it's not all that big. Like, again, I mean, I'm holding it here in my hand, but it's not all that
big. It's big enough to fit a what, 2280?
Yeah, 2280 M.2 SSD in there. It's USB 3.2 Gen 2. So you'll see max speeds of 1,000 megabytes a second. And I think that's a good, like, the good thing about that is any older M.2 drive, it's going to max out that connection. You know what I mean? Even the slower drives are like, you know, 1500 megabytes a second read and write, that will still max this enclosure out, which is really awesome. And getting fast portable storage is just like, it's great because, you know, you go on a trip, you're offloading stuff. Maybe you want to have a little game drive. This could be a game drive. It's really great for that. You know, and here you can see the inside with that M.2. Yeah, it goes all the way from 2230 to 2280. So you can fit different sizes of M.2 drives in here. Incredibly simple and easy device. And it just, yeah, installation is extremely easy. Patriot did send us over their P300 drive. And, you know, you slide over this heat spreader on it. And then you, you know, install it. You secure it with this little rubber piece on the end there.
Is that just like an aluminum sheath that goes around the drive then?
Yeah, aluminum sheath that goes around the drive. And then, yeah, you slide it back in and you plug it in. And when you plug it in, it does light up with RGB lighting, which is pretty cool as well. So it's going to look pretty cool sitting on your desk. And when you're actually transferring files, that lighting will be white and it will flash to, like, you know, to indicate the transfer. So I like this thing. I think it's really cool. I think it's, again, you know, as we upgrade our systems, we just have like this extra, especially M.2s, because they can't be installed in like really older things or you know, certain devices, where this comes in handy. Everybody wants fast portable storage. You know, you can go and pick up a M.2 or you can go pick up a portable SSD, but those can't be opened, right? So later down the line, you can upgrade this, or you could even take the SSD back out and say you're building an older system for a friend. They need a drive. You can take the drive back out of this, which is nice. With just a normal portable SSD, you're stuck with that. Almost all of them, if you open them, you do void the warranty. So with this, you get the benefit of both worlds. And again, it just allows you to make use of an older drive, which is something that I definitely like. So I really like it.
Does it come with a cable that's more than like 6 inches long?
The cable is right here. And I would say it's, I mean,
that's always, I mean, it's not, this like, is about you a, really this need is, it to be that long, but like some of them are like six yeah. inches long and stiff, right? Some of those.
No, this early is, so this is the cable that comes with, terrible. I would say it's about a foot long. Yeah. It's about 12 inch long. And what's nice is that on the end here, it's type A, but
yeah,
there's a cap. So it's type C. So you can use it on a multitude of different devices too, which is really nice. So yeah, I think they did a really good job. I mean, this thing, like, some of these we've seen in the past are kind of expensive. You know what I mean? Here's some shots of the RGB lighting really quick if you guys want to see. It goes on the side of the drive too, which is pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So, but some of these can be expensive, like $50-$60. This is $34.99 on Amazon. Like, it's pretty much a no-brainer when it comes to the price. I really like this. And I'm always about like repurposing old hardware, because again, you know, you upgrade something and you still have this great piece of hardware that, you know, you can definitely make use of. So it's great that you can, yeah, repurpose an old M.2 SSD with this. So like, I gave it a 9 out of 10. The only thing that would have been nice if this was USB 3.2 Gen 2x2. So we could get 2000 megabytes a second. So maybe they'll come out with a newer one that has that, but overall for the price, you can't go wrong with this. So check it out. If you're, like I said, if you have some old M.2 drives laying around, this is a great way to give yourself.
It'd be a good like stocking stuffer, like small gift for like,
yeah, for sure.
You know, right.
Yeah. Because it's not that expensive. Right. And it, again, like portable SSDs, I mean, most 1 terabytes are,
you can get them pretty cheap.
Yeah, they are decently cheap, like $79.89. But I mean, this is $34, and if you already have the drive just sitting around, yeah, great little stocking stuff. Man, we're getting. I don't want to think about the holidays, man. It's coming up.
We're getting there.
Yeah, definitely getting there for sure. So, that was that review, and then, you know, we talked about it on the podcast. Was maybe back in May we talked about this. We saw this image, this leak on Twitter here, of an Amazon Basics CPU cooler. And I was intrigued when I saw it, and then it became for sale and I picked it up, and it's been sitting here for like 3 months, maybe. It's been sitting here for a while, and I finally decided to review it. And yeah, it was pretty interesting. And the first thing that you and I said when we saw this is, this looks like a CPU cooler that we know. Yeah. This looks like the Cooler Master Hyper 212 way too much. Yeah. And this original listing just said Amazon Basics computer cooling fan, right? But if you go to Amazon now,
because it was everything. It wasn't just the heat sink. It was the design, the way the fan attached. Even the fan itself looked like a Cooler Master fan.
Yeah.
So it was kind of odd or interesting at first.
Yeah. So now.
Yeah, spell basics, right?
We did reach out to Cooler Master initially, and I emailed them and I said, hey, like, this cooler looks a lot like your cooler. And they emailed us back and they said, we approve the design and the technology, basically meaning that Cooler Master is making this cooler for Amazon. And now the listing now says Amazon Basics computer cooling fan with Cooler Master technology in it. So we do know that this is being made by Cooler Master for Amazon, but this is Amazon's first real PC hardware product, which is pretty interesting. I guess they see a market for this in some respects, right? They have to see sales of other coolers, and they're like, we're going to put one out. And it is, I mean, fairly affordable, $28.51. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's probably cheaper than the 212, like Cooler Master's own design.
Yeah.
But I feel like this is a much more basic fan, right? It's your three color. Mm-hmm. Most likely, yes. I think RGB, maybe not their latest design and efficiency and you know, performance, but
yeah. So this is a single tower cooler, not 120 millimeter fan, 92 millimeter fan. So this cooler is only about 135 millimeters tall. So it's very small. So it's going to fit literally in any mid tower. It can fit in a lot of small form factor systems as well. Yeah. Which kind of makes it sort of like a hybrid cooler in the fact that, like, you know, this could, you know, because a lot of tower coolers, they're towers and they're like usually 150 on the low end, 165 on the high end as far as height. So this is very small. So it kind of puts it in two different categories. Like I said, we have the 92 millimeter fan at the front, black frame with the clear blades. So it's going to reflect the RGB lighting that you're going to get with this. As you can see on the side here, it's not very thick at all. It's probably the smallest CPU cooler that I've reviewed that isn't a low profile cooler, because this thing is very small. You can see the back there, you can see the top of the cooler. An interesting thing, the top of the cooler was like dirty when I got it, which was a bit weird. And again, I bought this on Amazon. It wasn't like they sent it to me, so yeah, I don't know why that's dirty like that, which is weird. We have four copper heat pipes here. These are direct touch heat pipes, so they will make direct contact with your CPU. Some say that gives better heat transfer than having like an actual block here. So you have all of that. And then when it comes to installation, this is incredibly easy. We did our installation on an Intel system. So you install the backplate. And the backplate has the little pegs that come through. These will be your screw holes. And then all you do is you put your mounting bars on the cooler. This can be installed on AMD as well, but these are the Intel mounting bars. And then you just screw it in. That's it. You do have to take the fan off to screw it in or make it easier to screw in, but that's it. It's incredibly easy to get this thing installed. For most people, 5-10 minutes max to get this thing installed. And because the cooler is so small, you could easily install this in a case with the motherboard mounted. We do all of our installs outside just to show you guys, but extremely easy to install. You plug in your power, and then for the RGB, it does come with a hardware RGB controller, which I think is nice. The only issue that I have with this RGB controller is that it's powered by what do you think it's powered by?
Oh, don't tell me it's not SATA. It's going to be Molex, isn't it?
Yeah, it's powered by Molex. God,
so, hey, at least it's not of like a floppy
one. Yeah, that's true. But it's powered by Molex. But the controller allows you to change the color, and it has some effects built in. Now, this is 4-pin RGB. It is not 3-pin addressable RGB. So all of the, there's 4 RGB LEDs in the fan. Those are all going to be the same color at all times. They're not individually addressable. So you can't do any like rainbow wave stuff. You can't do any of that. It's just, again, they're all going to be the same color at the same time. And then for effects, you just get blinking and you get breathing. That's it. And you can either do that on a single color, or you can have it cycle through the 7 available colors. That's it. But overall, like I said, the installation is extremely easy. Again, you can see just how small it is. 100% RAM clearance on here. And you can see that fan there. There might actually be 2 RGB LEDs. Now I'm looking at this, one here and one here.
Just hitting it from the sides.
Yeah. Possibly. Yeah, one here and one here. But it does light up nice. You know what I mean? We'll go to the next page. I have some pictures of the different colors. So, yeah, you can see.
Yeah, I mean, for an Amazon Basics product, like, this is what you're getting and what I would expect.
So. Yeah, and that's kind of what I said in the review. When I think of an Amazon Basics air cooler, CPU air cooler, one, I want it to be easy to install because they're probably targeting people who are beginners, mm-hmm. right? And you want an easy installation. And this is one of the easiest Intel installations that I've done. There's no, you know, the mounting bars are on the actual cooler itself. So you're just placing that on top of your CPU. You're not having to put any other bars around the CPU socket or anything like that. It's extremely easy to go ahead and do that. So I like that. And then I'm just expecting like okay performance, right? It's okay.
Right. Right.
It's not something you're going to run an overclocked i9 on.
Right? Probably better than stock, but not as good as other coolers. Yeah.
Yeah. So if we look at our performance here during idle, it's close to the bottom, which it's idle. So it's, I wouldn't say it matters all that much. During load, again, very close to the bottom. Only being the only coolers that were worse than it was the Thermaltake UX200 SE and the Noctua NHP1, which that Noctua has, it's all metal. There's no fans on that.
That's so, passive.
Yeah, it's passive cooler. And for reference, the Thermaltake UX200 SE is $2,199. So it's less expensive. And then we go to our second load test. And again, it sits towards the bottom, only being better than the Thermaltake UX200 SE and the Noctua NHP1. The Deepcool AK400WH, which is a very small cooler as well, does have better performance, but that cooler is $40. This cooler is $28. And then the Johnsbo Pisa A5, that was one of my favorite coolers. That was around the $30 range. That has much better performance. But if we go into our sound, our noise levels, idle, it's incredibly quiet. But if, you know, we go into load here, the Johnsbo Pisa A5 is louder at our first load, and the Johnsbo Pisa A5 is much louder at full load too. So it kind of has its caveats. It's like, it's priced really well. It doesn't provide as good a performance as some other coolers in the $30 range, but most of the coolers in the $30 range are slightly louder, but you are going to get better performance. But again, the performance isn't necessarily horrible either. We weren't thermal throttling or anything like that on our CPU. This is going to run pretty much all CPUs fine if you're not doing anything crazy CPU intensive. I think if you're running more CPU intensive tasks, something like Ryzen 5, Core i5 would be perfect for the CPU. Core i7, if you're, again, doing really CPU intensive stuff, it would be pushing it a little bit, at least for my liking. And I wouldn't run a Core i9 or anything like that, or a Ryzen 9, if you were, again, doing really CPU intensive stuff. But for all intents and purposes, I think this is a good cooler. Obviously, it's not the best performing in its price range. But again, it's not all those other coolers are louder.
And they don't show any like wattage, you know.
I think it's 198 watts that it can.
190? Really?
Yeah, I think. maybe like it's over 150. I know that.
Okay. Yeah. I was just looking on their page. I couldn't find it. So maybe it was in like their brochure or something. So.
Yeah. It was something like that. You know, to give you a reference, like the really big boy CPU coolers can do like 250 watts. So,
yeah, I just, you know, being smaller, I was surprised it was, that was quite.
Yeah.
Bad.
So I think that, Amazon was right to get somebody else to make this for them. Right.
Yeah. And I mean, Cooler Master has like that OEM side of their business, right? I've had like old HPs that have been, you know, I'm helping someone fix theirs, and you open it up and you're like, wait, there's a Cooler Master cooler on this, like, no, you know, no name motherboard. And even when you go to their website, you'll get hit with like, do you want the consumer page or do you want the like OEM page? So definitely one of the better options out there for.
Yeah. So I gave it a 7 out of 10. Again, you can get the same type of performance around the same price. Your cooler is just going to be slightly louder, which again, for some people might not even be a big deal because they have headphones on and it doesn't matter at that point. Secondly, that RGB controller, the Molex, is, I'm just not a fan. You know, we've seen that on other products as well. And then I was just like kind of upset that like the top of the cooler, like, was just like dirty.
Yeah. Not,
that was just weird.
Not that it has to be, and it's that it's just brushed aluminum on the top. Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes they have like those, and it didn't like wipe off or anything.
No, it did, but it was just like, that's how it came. It was just weird.
Yeah, especially for.
A brand. I mean, it wasn't like I had to like spray the top or like spray stuff on a paper towel to wipe it off. It didn't just like come off. But yeah, those are the only things. And like not having an ARGB fan, you know,
right?
Where the 3-pin is probably a lot more common now, and you can't do, you know, all, even like that Johnsbo Pisa A5 has an ARGB fan, so you can do, or you know, you can do the rainbow wave. Same thing with the thermal take cooler that's worst performing, but is $21.99 that also has an ARGB fan. So yeah, I mean. I think if it, yeah, I would get the Johnsbo over this personally, but I don't think it's horrible. It's just like, it's all right, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's cool to check out. You know, definitely, something that I just wanted to see how good or bad it was going to be, you know?
No, so I think it's interesting, real interesting. Cause it was cool seeing it like with that leak, and then I'm glad you bought it.
Yeah, I just decided to pick it up and, you know, see what it's about. Because I really like doing air cooler reviews, and it was just like, okay, is this actually worth picking up? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Old man said he's still got a Hyper 212 from 10 years ago, used a few years ago in a test build. Yeah, I have, I moved it just today. I have a system with my Hyper 212 Evo, you know, that's probably, 10 years old, then, and that thing keeps... Stuff yeah, cool.
That was like the gold standard for cheap air coolers.
Yep.
Was the Hyper 212, and that's why I was also kind of intrigued by this, because it was like, it looks like a Hyper 212, you know. Yeah. It does. So check out the review. I'll be doing a video on it in the coming weeks as well, so definitely stay tuned for that as well. What do we have here? I did do a video for the ASRock Z790 Live Mixer. So we talked about it last week. It's a great board. I'm not going to go into a ton of like detail, obviously, but I made a video on it. If you want to check it out, I feel like this is a video you guys should watch, because this board is so visually appealing that like it just like when I was shooting all the B-roll for this, I was like, man, this board's so good looking, you know. So check it out if you want to. We have the link in the show notes. Just a great overall board. I really like the way those boards look for sure. So go ahead and check that out. And this week for Case Mod Friday, we have an interesting build. If you guys do watch the podcast a lot or listen to the podcast, at the end of every podcast, we say, Ryan's going to have the gaming stream up and we're going to be playing Apex Legends. So we always play every week. We haven't really faltered from Apex Legends for a long time now. Right. And this week we have an Apex Legends theme build called Care Package. And it is themed like the care package in the game, which I think is really cool. Yeah. This one's done from Jugapat Modifier. We featured a ton of his builds before. And yeah, it's a care package. So if you're
and it pops open too, right?
Yeah, these just like in the game, it pops open. Here you can see, you know, here this is it open. So you can see like this window here opens, and then in the game, like your items would be in here, but of course,
right,
your PC's in here, and we see some EK water cooling here.
So this thing's pretty big.
Yeah, I mean, this is a...
I mean, decent sized, if you think about how big that GPU is.
Yeah, the GPU is right here. And then you have your CPU, you have like a I think
monoblock.
Monoblock in your memory. And this is a full-size motherboard, too. Because if it was mini ITX, it would only have two memory slots. We have four here, so... Yeah, so I like I said, it's pretty cool. And just like the... The attention to detail. I presume this
is all 3D printed,
most likely. I don't know, but I'm pretty... I mean, you would think it would be, right?
Yeah.
You can see the pump and the res there. Power supply down here on the sides. Yeah, it's really cool. I like how it opens up. That's super cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think it looks really cool.
I wonder if they are all... if you open it, if they all open at the same time, or if you have to kind of, like, manually do them. Like, that's probably asking too much to have it all like pop open like it does in the game, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
That would be very cool if that's what it did.
Yeah, there's no video. You can see the fans here.
I mean, you got a 360 right there, so this thing's got some size to it.
Yeah, it's kind of deceiving. Here's you can see the 360, the motherboard and graphics card are on this side. So yeah, I think this is super cool.
Yes, this is neat.
Yeah, very cool to see close up of the block, and yeah, very cool. We don't see it. I mean, we have seen some Apex Legends themed builds, but I think this one's really interesting.
Probably the coolest we've seen so far.
Yeah, because it's just like it's a actual piece from the game. So yeah. So go ahead and check that out. As I always say, we do have a full section of Case Mod Friday builds, so you can go through there for hours on end if you wanted to. Now, moving over to news this week. So we saw last week the 7800 XT, 7800, 7800 XT launched. And then before that, we had a 7600. And then there's a 7700 XT.
Right.
But there's no 7600 XT. So we never got a 7600 XT. Well, it looks like that's going to be coming out. And... I get upset about this because I'm just like, why? Like,
what's the point of this?
Yeah, so it looks like the 7600 XT will be coming out, and it's going to have a 10 gig memory config and a 12 gig memory config, which it's not like going from 8 to 16. It's like 10 to 12 is just, I don't know. But the reason we know this is because... we got the EEC, which is like a regulatory filing for Europe. And you can see RX 7600 XT 12G OC and then RX 7600 10G OC. Two different model. And again, this is like a reaction to NVIDIA having so many models for different price points, but it's just like, and I've said this for hours on end at this point on this podcast, but it's just more confusing to the consumer, at least in my opinion.
I mean,
I don't know. And like, what's the, like, are you really getting that much more for 2 more gigabytes?
Right. What is the nuance between the 10 gig and the 12 gig? Like, what are your use case scenarios where it makes sense to have a 10 gig and a 12 gig? Just make the 12 or just make the 10, but not both. Or like maybe make a 7600 XTX that's your 12 gig, at least a different product naming scheme to differentiate the two.
And that's the thing is that I feel like we care about gamers and customer, you know, the consumer, mm-hmm. right? Like you don't want to go to the store, think you got something, and then it's not what you thought it was, right?
Or right, you're like, oh man, this one's like $50 cheaper. I'm gonna buy that one. It must be on sale. And you're like, oh, I got the 10 gig, not the 12.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah. Or, you know, you watch videos on YouTube. Oh, okay, I'm going to get the 7600 XT. You go to the store and like the one that they reviewed was the, you know, was the 12 gig and you got the 10 gig and then your performance isn't the same. And it's just like, you know, yeah, it's just a little confusing, but that's what's to come. We don't know when these are going to be coming out, but that will, we think that will be the last card in the 7000 series from AMD. Everybody seems to be wanting to hit those price points. So that's what's coming from AMD. Now on the NVIDIA side, we did talk about this last year about an RTX 3090 Super. And Ryan has a Super card, and the Supers for the 20 series were a refresh, right? They were the refresh. It was a departure from what NVIDIA was doing, and I was a fan of them. And then for some reason, with the 30 series, we just got certain TI models. We didn't get Supers. And it was just like a one-time thing. I don't know why they... Nobody knows why they went away with that naming or anything like that. But this picture found its way online of an RTX 3090 Super. So it looks like at least up until... sometime close to launch at some point, or this is a pre-production model, but they were still going to go with the Super naming. And the person that has this card did confirm the device ID, and it actually matches the same device ID as a TI model. So they just, you know, it makes you think that they had some meeting at NVIDIA and they're like, yeah, we're ditching.
We're
going back to TI. I think that has to be what happened here, but it's cool to see. It's cool to see that like there was a pre-production model that said Super. So it's pretty interesting. And we've seen a couple different unreleased cards kind of poke their heads out. We saw the 3080 20 gig. I think that was
what one was of the them. Yeah, and then like I liked the EVGA card that they created for last gen, for this gen, but obviously EVGA doesn't make 40 series cards.
So it's cool to see these things come out later. We have all the information if you want to check it out in the article, but definitely something cool to see. Now, we talked about this last week at the end of the podcast, and we kind of confirmed it last week. But just so you guys know, obviously, the 7800 XT and 7700 XT came out recently, and AMD was running their free Starfield promotion. And because those cards came out last week, they added them to the promotion. So you will get Starfield for free with 7800 XT and 7700 XT cards. And it is the higher version. It's the premium edition that you will get. And of course, all these other cards are in with that as well, and processors. So if you're looking to build anything with AMD, you will get Starfield. And we talked about it last week, but like this is the first time a really big anticipated title comes with a graphics card or a CPU like as their bundle. So it's definitely a add-on if you're looking to build a new system or upgrade a graphics card or CPU for sure. So yeah, have you you thought about picking up Starfield?
Early on I did a little, but I don't know, I just, it's again, I'd get it and it's a game I'm not gonna play.
Yeah, same.
So but I mean, if it's coming free with a GPU, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and you were thinking about getting the 7800 XT, so
I was.
Yeah,
I still am.
Okay,
I'm waiting on, like, I don't want to. Again, it goes back to the whole hard tuned custom, right? And I'm using the CPU out of this, possibly the memory, for my new build. I don't want to buy another CPU just to, like, I don't want to do a full second build. Although I pretty much am. Really, maybe I should just do a fresh
one. Yeah,
but then it's like, all right, now I got to move up to DDR5, and
yeah,
spend more money. Who knows?
Yeah, so that's how it goes with PC building.
That is. You know?
So talk about sort of the non, more the mobile gaming side. Somebody put out a full review of the AMD Ryzen Z1. This is the non-extreme, so this isn't the one that's in the higher model of the ROG Ally. But this is the one that's gonna be in a ton of the handhelds coming out. So if you want to know more about it, I mean, he has like gaming benchmarks and how things go. It's like, it's pretty cool to see somebody do a review of this APU and kind of what it does and all that kind of stuff. And it's really, really interesting, the power profile on this thing too. If you're into all that and want to know more about this sort of this mobile platform, it's a pretty interesting review. We have links to everything and all the benchmarks and everything if you want to know more. But I do think it's a really cool piece of tech, and it's obviously really good, as all the mobile devices are that you're going to see come out are being powered by this. And again, powered by this over something that NVIDIA would make too. So pretty cool to see that if you want to check that out. We've been talking about 14th gen Raptor Lake refresh for a while. It looks like, we kind of knew, and you know, with a refresh, like what you're going to get as far as the actual products. Like, the 13900K and the 14th generation, you're going to get a 14900K. Like, it's kind of, you kind of know. But somebody did list the entire lineup, this leaked
surprise
graph with all of the TDPs, the core configurations, the base clock, the cache, like everything. This is incredibly hard to read. So somebody made this one, which is, it might be hard to see for you guys, but it's a lot easier to read if you check out the article, if you want to pull it up. But this has everything. And we talked about, there's has been leaks on, like, you know, the main three are going to be the 14900K, the i7 14700K, and then the i5 14600K. Those are all on here. And you will have your variations. You'll have your K, your T, your F, and your KF as well. All the way down, we do see the new Intel 300 and Intel 300Ts on here as well, that we had talked about last week. So, yeah, full listing. And again, this is all expected, but if you weren't sure about core counts or base clocks, it is all listed in here. So you can kind of see, you know, and expected MSRPs on here as well. And it looks like we are going to see a 15% increase in cost, which,
okay,
I'm not a fan of.
No, I mean, I'm not surprised, but
yeah,
because that's one thing where, like, CPU, like AMD and Intel, we've had kind of a expected price for quite a while.
Yeah,
you know, generation after generation. But on the GPU side of things, video cards is like just this hockey stick price increase. Like, come on, guys, like CPUs are staying steady. Why can't we have the same with?
Yeah, and we did have that time. Price increases, I remember when Intel exploded their pricing for the Extreme series. Sure. You know, where it went for that one series, it went up to like $2,000 for a CPU, and then,
yeah,
you know, a year or a year and a half later, they brought it back down to the normal price.
Yeah, I remember
so,
that.
But yeah, I mean, things are getting more expensive. We know how inflation works, and it seems like it's not just obviously, you know, PC components or tech, it's kind of everything. So we'll see when they launch, you know, what their prices will be and everything like that. Now, one thing I am excited for is Thunderbolt 5 was announced, and I love,
I knew fast you'd be surprised
speeds.
About this.
I love fast speeds. I love plugging something in. Like, I was transferring video files today from like an older, not an old SD card, but one that's just slower than my normal one. And I'm just like, oh man, so slow. Like, I have to wait for these files to transfer. And Thunderbolt 5 is going to be a nice increase. First, you're getting just more bandwidth. So Thunderbolt 4 was 40 gigabits per second. You're not just doubling that to 80. You're getting 120 gigabits per second of data transfer, which is just crazy. So previously with Thunderbolt 4, you could power two 4K monitors, but the two 4K monitors were limited to 60 hertz. With Thunderbolt 5, you'll be able to power multiple 8K monitors up to 540 hertz refresh rate for gamers on a single display. And then you could do three 4K monitors at 144 hertz through Thunderbolt. You know, yeah, just that's just crazy. And you can look at the actual, you know, data here again, going from 40 to 120. Yeah, just awesome. And we are getting power through the port as well. We were able to get up to 140 with Thunderbolt 4, which is awesome. But now you're going to get up to 240 watts through Thunderbolt, which is just a lot. That means you can, you know, with a single cable, you could power a monitor. And you've been able to do that with certain monitors, but this just allows you to get higher-end monitors that are going to require more power, but just a single connection. That's just super, super fast. The only thing that I'm upset about is they're still using USB 3.2 for the switch back to USB. So if you plug in a USB device to a Thunderbolt 4 or Thunderbolt 5, it's just USB 3.2 Gen 2 maxed out at 1,000 megabytes a second. It would have been nice to get 3.2 Gen 2x2, but yeah, I think it's a nice upgrade. Plug in more stuff, get more power, get better, you know, better data transfer. So really excited about that. We won't see that on motherboards probably till the next generation. And we're only just getting Thunderbolt 4 on laptops and stuff. I mean, you know, this current generation all have Thunderbolt 4, and just, you know, the motherboards that are coming out now, some of them do have Thunderbolt 4 just now. So we won't see Thunderbolt 5 till the next generation. But it's good to know, you know, we're getting that massive increase in data transfer. So maybe we'll see a lot more Thunderbolt 5 devices come out. So I'm excited for fast data transfers. I like fast data transfers. So we have that there. New Lian Li case. This is a big boy. I thought Ryan would be interested in this one. A massive case. This is the O11 Dynamic Evo XL. So this thing is massive. It's huge. It you know, you can pull you can it up to 400.
Setup around too, can't you?
Yeah,
customize its layout.
Yeah, so you can see this one's upside down basically, but you can fit massive radiators in here, 420 millimeter radiators. It's just a massive case. It's so big. Here's like the normal default layout that you would see. Extended ATX motherboards, tons of cooling. So I believe you can do like 420, 420, 360 rads there. So, I mean, as you can see, they have this one, you know, loaded out. They have their graphics card installed on this side bracket here, which is actually pretty cool. So it doesn't like cover up the motherboard, and it allows them to put this cabling through here this way. But yeah, ton of space in here, big side panel windows so you can see everything.
I think if I'm going with one of these big cases, these fish tank designs, kind of like we call it, I think I'm going to go with the Fantex, right?
Okay.
Very similar. The O11 is just like an iconic case, and I think I would choose it in a smaller layout, but I think once you get up to this larger size, there's some features of the Fantex, NV7?
Yes.
That I think I prefer over this design, but both still cool.
Yeah, they're both really, really cool. I was just about to ask you which case you would get, and I figured you'd say the NV7.
There are some things about the NV7 that I don't like. Just some of its space. The top section above the motherboard can be kind of odd at times, but there's a lot of cool features integrated into that I like.
Nice.
So, but yeah, no, this is
cool. I don't know.
That's a logical expansion and of that.
Yeah, because
011
when design. It comes to these massive, like the, if you're somebody who wants to run 420 mil rads and, you know, all of that, like there are only a handful of cases, especially cases from like known brands that you can kind of trust. And they, you know, they only come out every once in a while, just like the NV7 and some other ones. So yeah, so it's nice to see a big, big Li and Li case like this. The black one is $234.99. The white one is $244.99. No fans come with that. They're like completely empty. And just like the Fantex case, it is designed for you to add your own fans or pick the fans that you want. But you can load up a ton of fans, ton of cooling in this. So old man in the chat says he was looking at the Fantex Enthu Pro 2 server edition. That's a big ass case too, the server edition version of that. Yeah. Yeah. One thing that was nice about Fantex, and I think they're one of the ones that kind of started the trend with the bigger cases, like, because we would see bigger cases and I've reviewed bigger cases and they have like three or four fans that are just like junk. And like, you know, if you're doing a big build like that, like you're going to replace the fans anyways. So Fantex was one of the first that sold the case without the fans, or like they had an option without the fans that was obviously a lot cheaper. And then you were like, oh wow, like this massive full tower case is only, you know, 175 or 180 or whatever. It's because it didn't come with any of the fans. And it, again, it allowed you to choose all the fans that you wanted. So yeah, pretty cool stuff. So go ahead and check that out. And this is kind of interesting. I think this will be a big shift if this is actually true. And I know we don't really talk about Apple stuff, but when it comes to like cheap laptops, I think the go-to thing for a lot of people who are just like web browsing, social media, maybe some, you know, a little, I wouldn't even say work, like homework, or maybe just a little bit of word processing stuff. Like the Chromebook is like the cheap option these days, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think for a lot of people, the Chromebook is, it's affordable. It allows you to do what you need to do. And it's, yeah, it's an actual laptop too. It's not a tablet. And it looks like Apple might want to kind of take some of that market. So apparently,
if they do come out with this, I think it will sell like crazy.
Yeah, apparently Apple is developing a cheaper MacBook that's going to target the Chromebook market. And again, that's a massive market because not everybody has that much money. Parents, they don't want to spend $1,000 on a laptop for somebody who may be in middle school or, you know, whatever.
I mean, and that's the thing where Google has really taken advantage is education, yeah. Right? Like so many districts have Chromebooks that they hand out, and like they can do that because they're so cheap, right? Like mm-hmm. kids break them all the time, but they're cheap enough that it's not as financially burdensome yeah. to get them replaced and have a huge fleet of them. So this could be where Apple's trying to like push back into that market.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to cool. see. It really will be interesting to see the consumer price on these, because Apple, as you know, is always more expensive for what the hardware is. But it'll be interesting to see.
I mean, this would be something where if it was cheap enough, like it might get me to look into one. But every time I sit down at a Mac or try and use an Apple like interface, it's so frustrating.
Yeah, it's something you need to spend time with.
Yes, I think exactly. It obviously works because it wouldn't be as popular and successful as it has been. But
yeah. But yeah, pretty interesting. That would be, again, just like how Apple, and we talked about it when it happened, when Apple started making their own chips, how that's like a massive shift and a massive hit to Intel. Right.
You this make like could a cheaper be a massive, M1 yeah. type of chip in this thing.
Yeah. And, you know, they can control it. Like Apple's making a lot of really smart moves when it comes to their actual computers. I would say they're making a lot of really smart moves. So pretty cool to see that. We'll see. You know, as things come out, if this is something that's actually going to come to fruition, and if it's actually going to be a, you know, price competitive with a Chromebook, because again, Apple's always really expensive when it comes to these type of devices. So we'll see if that's actually the case there. Now, last thing, I really didn't want to talk about like the product as much, but I wanted you to say right now, if you look at these speakers here, which I'm going to bring up on the screen.
I saw these and I was like, what is this? A cutaway of a Fram oil filter?
But like,
you know what I mean?
Yes, yes. These are Bluetooth speakers.
Yeah.
They're very expensive, but like,
yeah.
What kind of setup do you think these would look good on?
I don't know. Look all right at a desk. They might look okay, or they could probably look all right on a bookshelf somewhere.
What case would be nice sitting next to?
I can't think of which one it is, but it's the one with the wood slats on the front.
Yeah, the Fractal Design North.
The Fractal, yeah.
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 That's the first, that's what I immediately thought when I saw these. Yep. And somebody's going to have to do it because these look.
If they made them in like that green color, didn't that case come into green?
No.
I'm thinking of, okay.
Right. You're thinking of the Terra.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, the Fractal Design North is black and white.
That's right, with
the metal or with the wood slats like this and this. Yeah, that's kind of what they look like.
They're okay.
Yeah, I think it would look super cool. Now,
like you said, they're expensive, so
now I would never pay $2,749 for Bluetooth speakers. I assume they sound really good, but that's crazy. But yeah, I saw this and I was just like, yeah, it would look really awesome. These would look great next to, or like on a setup with a Fractal Design North, I think. So I think that's the only reason they're included in here. But yeah, I assume they're great. They do look really cool, especially this seems like touch sensitive controls for like the volume and everything. Right. So that's pretty cool.
Yep.
But yeah, that is it for news for the week. Coming next week, I'm taking a look at a mini ITX and micro ATX case from Red Dragon. And this is very much like an 011 case. It's a little bit different, obviously. Same design style here. This is their MC211. And it has some interesting lighting here. So I will have that for you guys next week. And then I'll also be taking a look at another NVMe SSD. This one comes from Lexar. This is their NM710. This is a Gen 4x4 drive. So max speeds of 4,850 megabytes a second read and 4,500 megabytes a second write. So more economical drive for those who may need it. So I'll have those two things for you next week, which is definitely exciting. As we come to the end here, we talk about any other tech related things, any tech things that you did this week. Did you do any?
I took a look at an Epson scanner.
You've been talking about these scanners.
Yeah, and I returned it yesterday or today actually, to who I was borrowing it from. It's pretty impressive. It's almost $600, so I'm just not quite ready to bite the bullet. I didn't know how it was going to perform, so that's why I hadn't bought it yet. This person bought it, let me use it for a while, and so I was like, all right, cool, I'll try it out, see if I actually want to buy it. So that was pretty cool. And then I tried out you had sent me a picture of like your bandwidth being used in Steam for Payday 3, so I did install that this weekend because they had a beta running for Payday 3.
Oh, yeah,
and I played a couple rounds of that. It was okay. That I ended up on, and it was map from one. Payday 2 as well, right? Maybe changed a little bit.
It's changed a little bit, but yeah, it was fun to play.
Okay. It ran pretty well.
I was playing with a couple friends, and it does bring back. So one of the best things about Payday,
you got to squad up on that. Like,
yeah, so yeah, you're working together, and you know somebody gets dropped, like somebody gets knocked down. You have to go pick them up, or like, you know, if you're trying to stealth a mission, like you're always in contact with like your squad mates. And it's like, we set off the alarm. So we're in like this big battle with the police, and it was just like, oh, I'm here. I'm doing this. Like you're talking to your teammates. That was one of the best things about Payday. The original Payday and Payday 2 was like, when you squad up like that and you're just like in this battle, it's not even a battle. Like you're just like, you know, you want to get away with the money and all that. Like it's, right. Yeah, you really feel it in the moment. So yeah, it was fun to play. I don't think, at least for me, like the graphics weren't
Yeah, they were
extremely
better. I didn't even adjust anything. I just went into the game to try it out because I knew I didn't have much time to play it. It was a weekend thing, and I only had like this time frame to play it. It ran fine. It looked pretty good. But yeah, it is interesting to play with people that you're not talking to.
Yeah.
It's so much harder because, you know, communication is key in that game. So yeah, that's kind of what I did tech wise.
Yeah. I did that obviously at the same too. It ran fine on my computer. And like I said, I don't feel like it was like visually crazy. It would have been nice for like this beta play test if they had like more than one map. It was always just the same one. Yesterday new iPhones were announced, and I'm on my upgrade cycle, I'd say. So I watched the iPhone the Apple announcements.
Type C connectivity. Woo.
Yeah, so big thing, Type C. The other big thing that I didn't research it enough to see if it's just the one mode, but you're now able to say like I'm recording and I can record to a portable SSD directly from the phone.
That was cool.
I don't know if that's only in their ProRes mode or if it's just with all. So that would be kind of cool, especially considering like last CES we used the phone mostly to take all of our B-roll. Like that would be kind of nice to see. Beyond that, like the new the chassis is titanium now, which I definitely like. I don't feel that like I remember like especially like, maybe like iPhone 1 through 10, I was like I would always like be super excited for it, and now I'm just like, you know, I don't know if that because like
I kept seeing headlines are like, oh, this is the, you know, huge change in blah 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 years, like, and it was like because they moved from like the old connector, you know, and then they had Lightning for so long and now it's Type C,
and it's
like,
so funny,
why is this a headline?
Like, they're talking about USB 3.2 Gen 2, which is technically USB 3.0 if we're really
right, if you want to,
and it's 10 gigabits per second, which is 1,000 megabytes per second total. It's not,
I mean, like it's still a phone, right?
But yeah, but I mean it's still like that's been around for a long time.
I know, but that's a lot of, I mean, it's still a phone.
Yeah, like, that's true. I mean, I am on my upgrade cycle. I'll be getting the Pro, which has a lot of Pro features. It was interesting. So the larger phone is like, there's the Pro and there's the Pro Max. The Pro Max got a new camera, but I don't really need that camera. But overall, I think it'll be a nice upgrade. I have like the 256 gig phone. I'm going to get to like the 1 terabyte of this.
Holy cow.
Well, I'm almost out of space on this one. So, I mean, I might as well just go max it out.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But it's nice too. I mean, I didn't really expect it, but like, I think like I can trade in this phone. Like this is a 12 Pro through AT&T and get like $800. So I'm pretty happy about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like if you go here, I'll show you. Because
Google announced the Pixel 8, I think, or it leaked. So then they just went ahead and announced it, I think, maybe.
Yeah, so like if I spec this out, like I want the 15 Pro, I want the blue one. The blue one does look sweet, in my opinion. Oh, let me go back. Wait, I can't show you all the colors, but there's like, which color would you get? Titanium?
No.
Blue?
No.
White titanium?
Nope.
Or black titanium? I'd get the
blue. Probably the black. The blue is not bad, but
yeah. So I'm gonna get the blue. I'm gonna go 1 terabyte. So that makes it like it's $14.99.
Jeez.
Yeah, but so I'm gonna select my smartphone, 12 Pro. So
I can't see the drop down.
Is your phone in good condition? Yes. So if I did it through Apple, they'd give me $360 for my phone, right? Okay. But if you trade in with select carriers, you'll get up to $1,000 back. So what you do is you click on, oh, you can buy or finance, whatever. So I'll buy it. And then I select, maybe you have to finance. Let me click on finance. So finance through AT&T includes $800 trade-in bill credits.
T-Mobile gives you $1,000.
Yeah, it gives you $1,000, which is like kind of crazy. So like, if you look at this.
Wow.
Like without the, so I have AT&T. So it's like 19, you know, you're financing this over 36 months, 0% APR. So, you know, you're financing the full $14.99. Oh, crap. What did I just hit? Oh, hold on, edit. You know, so through AT&T, it would be $19.42. If I wasn't trading in a phone, no trade-in finance.
62.
It would be $41.64. So that's like, you know, it makes the purchase a lot easier, if that makes sense. Sure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I'm, you know, I'm excited to get it. I think with, I still feel like it just, I just remember the days of like the iPhone announcement. You're like, oh, super new thing. And they put a lot of like, features in this phone for like real, like content creators, like shooting in RAW and doing all that stuff, which is great. But like for the, like, you know, sort of tech savvy person like me, like I'm not shooting in Apple ProRes and I'm not shooting in Apple RAW. Like, you know what I mean? Like I'm just a normal consumer.
It is kind of funny though. Like they're like, all right, we've got the ability to shoot to this like external storage, and Android phones a long time ago, you know, most of them don't have this anymore, but you could put the SD card in there and just like save to that. Like,
yeah,
again, it's one of those features that.
The Apple ProRes footage is like insanely large, and it's going to be able to do 4K 60, which is like with Apple in the Apple ProRes, whatever, is like crazy big. So like you really need the portable SSD in those cases. But in any case, I like it. I it was kind of funny. I put it on my personal Twitter, but like all they were talking about, like 90% of this Apple event was like, oh, we care about the environment, blah, 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 you know? And it's like, I don't know. It was just like, nobody cares. Like we don't know. And like, it's kind of funny that they're no longer making leather accessories for their devices because it's bad for the environment, which I thought was funny. But
I mean, I guess, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
You're using a byproduct of like, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, the phone is made in China. So, yeah, I've been there. So let's just say that. So you're not, you know, all your carbon credits and all that stuff doesn't really make a difference.
It's not made out of bamboo and runs on.
Yeah, exactly. But in any case, pre-orders tomorrow, or no, pre-orders Friday. So I'll be getting this. So it'll be fun to play with. I would definitely like this.
When do you get it? Like how soon do you?
I don't know. I think like by the end of the month.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to pre-order on Friday. The only thing I'm worried about is if like that. Now this has happened in the past. I don't think it's going to happen anymore, but like, they like run out of the color that you want or like the capacity that you wanted. That's actually what happened with this. Cause like I wanted the blue one. This is the blue one. And like I couldn't get it for a while. So I don't know, but in any case, that's like the new tech thing. Cause I haven't really bought a new tech thing since my GoPro, like since the Hero 10, I think. Trying to think, have I bought anything?
Yeah, I think because you bought that newest GoPro and you were showing me some video and out at the beach. And that was probably the last thing I remember. You didn't get a new drone, did you?
No, I don't think. I've been seeing some, I saw some of the newer drones, so I haven't really followed that stuff that much. They're getting really good.
Yeah.
But I just don't, I wish I had more time to do a lot of that stuff, but maybe I'll get back into it. But yeah, I'm excited for that. It'd be cool to, you know, shoot more videos, and obviously we'll be using, you know, this is like a work investment too, right? Because we'll be using this a lot at CES. I use this phone a lot for shooting shorts and other things as well, for the YouTube channel and all that kind of stuff. So it's a work investment too at the same time. So So yeah, I'm excited for that. What phone do you have? The same one?
Yeah, I have a phone I'm not really happy with. Okay. Some things it's great. Other than the camera is just my the camera's the only complaint I have. It's the OnePlus 10 Pro 5G or something.
Okay.
But I also still have my Pixel 4 XL right here.
Okay. Yeah, maybe you come over to the Apple side.
Nah.
I think too. So like, obviously, we both like, you know, smartphones weren't a thing, and then we you know, smartphones came out, and like, once you're in one ecosystem, it's so hard to go over to the other one. Well,
I mean, my first smartphone was the first iPhone. I had the OG iPhone.
You still have it?
No, I sold it.
I was gonna say it'd be worth some money probably now.
Mm.
Yeah. But in any case, yeah, I'm excited to get it. It'd be fun to play around with something new. So hey guys, that is going to be it for this week. We are doing a gaming stream, right? Are you? Yeah, I wasn't sure. You said you were tired, so.
I was. I've woken up in the podcast. So
did you? Do you have one of your Starbucks things?
Oh, actually, you know I do, but no. If I drink that now, like yeah, I should have drank at the beginning of the podcast. I'll be up all night if I.
Well, Ryan will have our gaming stream up over at twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. We're playing some Apex Legends. Really excited to play. I feel like this week has just been a blur, so it'll be fun to kind of let off some steam and play some games. Thanks for everybody for coming out in the live chat. Old Man and Taltosh were in there. Good to see you guys.
Shinny was in there too.
Oh, he was in there.
Yeah, for a little
bit. I did not see him in there. So Shinny was in there as well. We'll be playing with him, at least I think. I think so that will be fun as well. Again, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. And thanks everybody for coming out.